Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble here. My website is www.jbsba.com, and I'm excited about having our good buddy Wayne Cruz back on the show. Wayne is Vice President for Policy and the Director of Technology Studies at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, an organization that I told you about many years ago when I introduced you to this, to its president, Fred Smith, and now Wayne's there. He's formerly with the Cato Institute. Actually, I think he was there once before, weren't you, Wayne?
I had been here.
You were there.
Well, I was at Cato 3.5 years, and before Cato, I was here at CEI for five.
That's what I was thinking. That's when we first met you.
That's right. I was doing regulatory policy then, and went to Cato doing tech-specific regulations, but still doing some overview reports on regulation.
Right. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. It's
good to have you back, and congratulations again on getting back to CEI and now a VP over there. I'm proud of you.
Thanks a lot.
Today is a very momentous day. I'm not going to say it's an important day because it's a little bit ignominious, but it is a momentous day, isn't it? Tell us what today is.
Well, I didn't realize it's actually tomorrow. I didn't realize this.
Well, now you could have worked with me a little bit on that, Wayne. they don't know if it's today. They don't know if it's today or tomorrow, Wayne.
they had emailed me from Americans for Tax Reform about Cost of Government Day, which is the day that we finish paying for the cost of government, and that is in terms of federal taxes, local taxes, and federal taxes, state taxes, and regulations. Mm. And, you know, I spend a lot of time on the regulation side, and I was putting together, I was looking at their release and putting together some comments. There's going to be a press conference today on Capitol Hill. Mm-hmm. There will be three members of Congress, Grover Norquist of Americans for Tax Reform, Scott Hodge from Heritage, me from CEI, talking about Cost of Government Day, which is tomorrow, which I believe is the 7th?
Oh, tomorrow's the 8th.
And that is Cost of Government Day, meaning the day we finish paying for government. If you were to start working on January 1st and pay all of the above-board taxes and hidden taxes that the government
including
imposed,
regulations. And, of course, let's point out, Wayne, that there's a tax day that for the last many years has been around the first, somewhere in the first and the second week, I should say, of May, which is, and many times it's on birthday, which is May 9th, and that's one of the ways that's one of the ways I remember
that's
it.
That's how you keep up with it.
Yeah, it is. No, a couple of years it was on my birthday, and that's when you have worked all year long up to that point, and all the money you made goes towards taxes of some kind, state and local, federal taxes. But this year, the tax date actually came early. It was way back in April, and it was so early it slipped up on a lot of people, including me. I went right by it, not knowing that the day had changed that much. And I started looking around for tax day, the 1st of May, and it had already happened.
Already passed.
But what you're talking about is that day plus from that moment to now paying for regulations.
Exactly. Tax Freedom Day came a little bit earlier. Largely, that was, you know, some of the Bush tax cuts, things, particularly things like the child tax credit that was increased, would have a big impact there. But as you know, of course, government spending is still up, which is something that we're going to have to deal with separately, and that can certainly make Tax Freedom Day come a lot later in future years.
Mm-hmm.
But what is done with Cost of Government Day is just as you said, they take Tax Freedom Day, add to it all of the costs, or at least what we know, you know, some of our best estimates of the cost of regulation. And, you know, regulations encompass everything from economic regulations like trade rules, banking regulations, things of that sort, agricultural price supports and things of that nature, mm-hmm. to environmental rules, you know, the endangered species, clean air, clean water, and then finally health and safety rules like FDA rules and USDA rules.
Well, and what you're pointing out to us is because when you and I say this is the cost of government day, we're not saying, folks, that now here we are well into July. And you've worked 6 months, you know, people would say, well, you know, obviously I don't pay half of my payroll, half of my annual salary to the government. But in terms of what the government spends, you do.
That's right. And that's what's so insidious about regulations is it's not the government. If you want to know what government spends, all you have to do is look at the Bush budget document that came out in January and look at the proposals for the upcoming fiscal year.
Right.
But for regulations, health and safety, environmental, economic rules, they cost 800 or so billion a year, according to the best estimates, but they don't appear in the budget. They're hidden taxes.
Hold on to that thought, Wayne. We're going to take a quick break, folks. 20 till. We'll be right back with Wayne Cruz. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, Marcia Connor is going to teach us how to learn better, smarter, and faster. That's right. You can actually learn how to learn better, smarter, and faster. And then Ed Yordan is going to talk to us about what he calls the brain drain, some of these high-tech jobs that are going overseas, and what are we doing about that? What's that going to mean to the United States and to the marketplace here? And we're going to talk with Ed Yordan about that in the next hour. We're still visiting with our good friend Wayne Cruz, and he's with the Center for Competitive Enterprise Institute. I'm sorry. The Competitive Enterprise Institute. So I just went brain dead there for a minute, Wayne. And CEI, folks, I've known about them for a long time. He's VP of Policy and the Director of Technology Studies there. Wayne, you were saying that something that I want you to repeat. I want you to tell us again what these regulations are. They're insidious, hidden taxes that
they
we
are
all
hidden
pay.
Taxes.
That not only do they not show up on our W-2s, but they don't even show up on the budget.
That's right. They don't show up in the budget. We know the federal budget now is a little over $2 trillion a year. Regulations add to that another $800 billion or so, and that's an amount that's greater than Canada's GDP. It's greater than corporate pre-tax profits. It's a huge amount of money in terms of compliance costs that the private sector and lower-level governments have to pay out. But it doesn't appear anywhere in the budget. There isn't any kind of tracking of it.
And you know, and Wayne, really you know what the SBA Office of Advocacy how they
business,
identify that, don't you?
There are a few bright spots in the bureaucracy that are looking at this stuff, and the SBA is one of them in terms of Office of Advocacy is tracking, and also in terms of the help that they try to offer to small businesses. And that's one of the things that we should do a better job at. If a lot of what's happening in terms of the regulatory state is meant to deregulate, for example, if you look at FCC and the efforts to move toward a more liberalized telecommunication system, well, a lot of what they're doing is meant to be deregulatory, but when you look at all of the things pouring out of the federal government, there's no way to separate out the good from the bad.
Mm-hmm.
I do a report each year where I try to get at a little of that, and we've talked about it before,
right.
The 10,000 Commandments report.
Right. And you've got a new one out, haven't you?
The new one just came out about 3 weeks ago, which is why I'm taking part today in this press conference on Cost of Government Day, just because of my involvement in looking at the regulatory state. But in that report, it would be a lot better if I didn't have to do that report at all. In other words, if each year when the federal budget came out, the government itself told us how many rules there were, how many pages in the Federal Register apply to final rules, which of the rules are meant to be deregulatory, how many impact small business, how many are meant to relieve small business. You know, none of that kind of thing is separated out, and I'm hoping that with a report like 10,000 Commandments, which I've done not every single year, but almost every year for the last more than a decade, I'd prefer that, you know, folks over at the OMB and in Congress release this kind of information.
Well,
so
those
on the outside have something official to look at.
Or I'd also like it if you had to keep doing it. If next year it was 8,000 commandments.
Well,
and then,
exactly.
And then the next year it was 6,000 commandments. But
wouldn't it be great
because,
if we could?
Because here's let's boil this down to small business terms, Wayne, and the Office of Advocacy does this very well, and that is that for every small business employee that we have, mm-hmm. and small businesses pay almost $7,000 per employee per year just to comply with regulations.
Right.
Two pieces of information. That's double what it costs for a big business.
That's right.
Per employee. And Wayne, I think you were just saying, it's going up. It's not going down.
It is going up. And in fact, when you started to say that, I just looked at the number. It was the Office of Advocacy had put out a report Mark Crane and Tom Hopkins looking at these. And the cost to small business of a given regulation have much more of an impact because of the lower level of sales to spread the cost around and
right.
the lower number of employees. So it's a real burden. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the health and safety rules, and there are new rules coming out. I mean, the USDA, you know, regulates the size of holes in Swiss cheese. It gets ridiculous. But, you know, I spend a lot of my time on tech policy issues also, and those impact small businesses too. You know, any of the issues having to do with privacy and marketing
right.
where the government is trying to regulate now, you know, small businesses need a leg up. We've debated things like spam and the good and bad entailed in unsolicited commercial email and what the rules there ought to be. But any of the new potential proposals, even the other privacy issues like the Patriot Act, the issues raised by the Patriot Act and projects like the Total Information Awareness have an impact on the small businesses and ability to collect information on consumers, which is a good thing.
They're basically
they're
basically tantamount to the unfunded mandates the states are given that the governors
exactly.
don't like. The governors don't like the unfunded mandates. That's what basically these are for us, aren't they?
Well, that was one of the success when the Republicans came in at that right around that time. And the idea floating around the governors
were mid-90s?
In the mid-90s, when the Republicans came in, at around that time, you know, a lot of the governors were in Washington saying these stormwater rules and all of these other
right.
environmental regulations are preventing us from meeting our own priorities. And they got some relief, but we need similar relief for the private sector, for small business. And that's one of the things we're working toward with the 10,000 Commandments.
When we come back, I'm going to put Wayne on the hot seat. I'm going to ask him, what would a Kerry Edwards administration mean for regulation, especially for small business? We're going to give him, I'll give him a couple of minutes to think about that. 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend, Wayne Cruz. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for joining me. It's good to have you with us. Mr. Wayne Cruz is with us, too. And Wayne's been an old friend of ours for a long time. He's an original member of our Brain Trust. He's VP for Policy and the Director of Technology Studies at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI. Why don't you give us a little bit of a thumbnail about CEI, Wayne?
We just had our 20th anniversary. We had a big black tie function here with the Treasury Secretary, John Snow, as keynote speaker, and Bob Novak, the columnist, the MC for the mm-hmm. evening. But it was a wonderful event. CEI has been at the forefront, basically, of looking at alternatives to heavy-handed government regulation in dealing with issues like environmental concerns, stewardship of natural resources. CEI has done a number of books like The True State of the Planet, Ecology, Liberty, and Prosperity, looking at free market environmentalism and ways to pursue private conservation, but also economic issues like the banking and insurance reform and general regulatory reform like the issues I look at in 10,000 Commandments. So a range of regulatory policy issues. What's different is we don't do budgetary issues. We focus on regulations and the hidden cost of government and ways to improve the scene there.
And nobody does it better either, folks, especially Wayne Cruz. And I, my hat's off to you, Wayne, you and the other folks over there at CEI. And give us your website, please.
It is www.cei.org.
Okay.
And we're easy to get to. You can find a number. You can just go there and find a number of policy papers and op-eds on any kind of research you might be looking at. You were just asking quickly, by the way, about John Kerry.
Yeah, I want to ask you about Kerry Edwards administration. What would they look? What would that look like? And let's compare and contrast that to Bush Cheney, which in terms of regulations doesn't have a good track record.
Well, that's true. I mean, if you look at Bush and Cheney, they could have done a lot more in terms of getting out in front of and supporting Michael Powell in FCC deregulation, in opening up new markets for telephony and for broadband. But, you know, it's an issue where with the Iraq War and with Social Security being a driving issue early in the campaign, along with his education push, my kind of issues in tech policy, unfortunately, never carried that kind of a punch. In other words, they weren't platform issues, they weren't presidential campaign issues, but nonetheless they still bubbled to the top.
So you're saying that when they were putting together the Republican platform, nobody said, okay, let's lay this one down, Wayne will like that one.
That's right. Well, we did have my friend Adam was on the transition committee for FCC issues.
Adam Thier.
As Adam Thier at Cato Institute, where we still work together. It doesn't have the cachet or the punch of the Iraq issue,
right,
or the
urgency of the Iraq issue for sure. Yeah.
But one thing I would just say to watch out for with Kerry, and things to watch out for, obviously I care a lot about privacy issues, and you have to watch and be very vigilant regardless of who wins. But I would be wary of Kerry's stand on some environmental issues. I think he wants to reinvigorate programs like Superfund that can have a big impact in terms of liability and getting trial lawyers back involved. Now, remember, he just brought John Edwards on,
right,
who is a trial lawyer.
He's now the face of trial lawyers.
But if Kerry's in, I can see me coming back on your show to talk about his new, in quotes, affordable health care plan that I think,
right,
could be tragic for small businesses.
Well, and don't forget, he also has come out, one of the planks in his platform is an increase in minimum wage.
That's right. Oh, you better believe it.
When he came out with that, he basically stuck his finger in my eye.
That's right. I'm glad you mentioned that. That was one that... when I was at CEI,
that's not a hidden tax. That's a real
tax. That is not a hidden tax. That one, you know, you can calculate it.
That's right.
It's much easier to calculate than a lot of other regulations.
Right.
But, you know, in today's economy and with the still somewhat sluggish job growth and with things evolving the way they are, and the outsourcing that is going on here. Sorry?
And with the outsourcing, all that,
With that issue and with the kind of haltish chugging along recovery that, you know, we haven't really fully made sense of,
right,
to slap a minimum wage, major new environmental regulations,
no,
and health care
no
mandates on top of it would just be
Wayne, we got to go. Thank you for being here today. It's always a pleasure.
A pleasure, Jim.
See you later.
Ever.
Wayne Cruz, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.